We already wrapped up the Eastern Conference. Now we're on to the Western Conference. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Jared Dubin. It's the Podium Game Podcast. Same concept here. Non-playoff teams, playoff teams, contenders. For me, in the West, my breakdown is way more even than it was in the East for this one.
Same.
Let's,
you want to start with the lottery teams again?
Yeah, let's do the lottery teams. I have...
How many guaranteed lottery teams do you have?
I have four.
I have six. So for both conferences, I'm, I guess, lower on a lot more teams than you are.
No, you know what? I'm going to go... Amendment. I'm going five.
Okay.
Oh, six. No, I'm at six too.
Okay, let's see if we've got the same ones.
I'm guessing we have the same ones here.
Denver.
Check.
Portland.
Check.
The Lakers.
Check.
Sacramento.
Check.
Dallas.
Check.
And Minnesota.
Yep, exact same. All right, so if we were going to pick one of those teams to make a jump and compete, who would it be?
None.
So you don't think any of them have any chance to join that middle group?
I think they're all going to be really bad. I mean, I guess Dallas, maybe, because most of why I'm putting them down there is health. Like, everybody on their team is hurt.
And it doesn't seem likely to change either. And
right.
The centerpiece of their offense is... nearing the very end and is no longer even reasonably, is it even reasonable to accept him to play poor defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more that their second and third best players are both coming off major surgery, and you have no idea when they're going to be on the court, let alone back to what they were before.
And the point guard...
In Parsons and Wes Matthews.
And the point guard, Darren Williams, is already dealing with the things that we've become accustomed to in the
right.
recent...
He's dealing with injuries again. Zaza is their only center, I guess.
A lot of people are about to get mad at you with that comment.
I am not counting him.
I said...
People that are listening to Hardwood Productions as a podcast know, like... well established what my feelings on JaVale McGee are. He's not good at basketball, he just isn't.
I forgot to leave when I was talking about Dallas's core, I left out JaVale McGee and my ads just blew up with people who jokingly but very much like JaVale McGee.
Yeah. There are a lot of those people at HP. I don't agree with them.
Oh, I'll give them that they're not being serious.
Some of them are, and that's scary.
I'd say I don't think it's going to happen, but I think if I were to pick one team out of that group to go up a spot, it would be the Kings. Just because of Cousins being... just maybe Cousins has that year where he's just so... damn good, and they get just enough out of the supporting cast around him. I think the Kings have a talented roster. I don't like Rondo. If he was gone, I would actually think it would be better. That if everything ended up clicking, that maybe they could outdo their expectations, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, did you see also today that Rondo basically said things are not going well between him and George Karl?
That was a Kings beat writer who's been covering the team all summer said it was a joke, and that's what he's been deadpanning that for months now.
Okay, well, even if that's the case, they have to show me that they're not a train wreck before I'll believe that they're not a train wreck. That's just where I'm at with them right now.
Same. I'm on the same page. But I'm just saying, if I were to pick one of them, I think they would be the one. Now, there's so, you know what's these bad teams I'm more intrigued by than the bad teams in the East, which is scary.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that on both counts. I'm more intrigued by these bad teams, and it's definitely scary that I'm more intrigued by these bad teams.
Like, I want to watch the Timberwolves to see Towns.
Yeah, it's like, the Timberwolves are going to be good at some point. It's just not going to happen this year. Like, everybody's too young. I'm one of the bigger proponents of playing young guys right away and just letting them figure it out, but young guys are still not likely to be that good yet. They're going to be fun to watch, and it's going to be fun to project their future, but I don't think they're going to be any good yet. They're a year or two away from, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, I think.
So some people who are smart and I respect were upset and didn't like that they were going to Levine starting over Kevin Martin. And I understand the points they were making, but I do disagree with them. I like letting that core of let Rubio, Levine, Wiggins, Towns play as many minutes together as they possibly can this year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going anywhere anyway. You know, and it's not like those guys are going to play minutes only with each other and nobody else. Like, Kevin Martin is still going to play with those guys. So, you know, it'll work itself out. Guys will get hurt. Kevin Martin will start at some point, I'm sure. You know, maybe he doesn't like coming off the bench, but you know, you do what the coach tells you to do.
Clarkson, Russell, and Randall, I'm looking forward to. I'm not looking forward. Oh, there's some nights I'm looking forward to seeing Kobe. Chuck shots, there's other nights I'm not in the mood for it. It depends.
I'll always look forward to watching Kobe because it's always an event and an experience. As long as we're not pretending that this version of Kobe is the same Kobe. You know, like, we're watching a fading legend go down swinging like he always has. It's sort of, you know, Iverson-esque, but on a grander scale. And at a point where, you know, I think Kobe is still more talented. Obviously, he's more talented than Iverson ever was, and he still is now more than Iverson was towards the end of his career. But it's sort of, you know, a guy that just will not change the way he plays with time, you know,
and has the cachet,
let's say Vince Carter has done.
And has the cachet to be able to do it and not feel any repercussions from it. Iverson ended up feeling repercussions from it. He got cut,
right.
He got traded. None of that stuff's happening with Kobe.
Right, well, Iverson also got traded in the middle of his career when he was still good. So that by the time he wanted to just be like this, you know, like the aging gunslinger, he was no longer, you know, in the cocoon of Philly that he was in where he, you know, was doing that for his whole career. Kobe is still with the Lakers. If he had been traded like mid-career to Chicago or something like that, like was rumored, you know, 7, 8 years ago, whatever it was, and he was, you know, now on his third or fourth team and he was trying to pull this routine, it would not be happening.
Where are you on the Nuggets?
They're going to be bad.
I like Mike Malone a lot.
I like Mike Malone. There are a few guys that I like there. Gallo looks like he's back healthy, which is, you know, terrific. One of my favorite players to watch. But I don't think they have really anybody that's going to play above average defense. Maybe Gary Harris or Nurkic, and that's probably it.
That was the Gallo, Gary Harris, maybe Fareed if he's completely engaged.
No.
No, I'm not a big Fareed. I've never been a big Fareed.
Let's, Matt Moore has all the numbers on it in terms of how good players' defense was with Fareed on and off the floor. The numbers are super ugly. You know, working hard and hustling and rebounding is not the same thing as defense.
Darrell Arthur's above average defender.
How many minutes is he going to get? Is he going to play?
12, 10 at most.
I'd like to see him get more. I do like Darrell Arthur. But they're also, you know, they have a weird roster with a lot of different, you know, combo guards, combo forwards. Like Gary Harris, combo guard. Moutier is sort of a combo guard in that, you know, he's not a great shooter, but he's going to be on the ball a lot. Randy Foy, combo guard. Even Jameer Nelson at this stage of his career is more of a combo guard. Wilson Chandler and Gallo were sort of combo forward guys. Mike Miller's a combo forward guy. You know?
That's very
it's
generous
very
of you. That's very generous of you to give Mike Miller a distinction of something.
Mike Miller is a season 5 guest star on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, he'd be lucky to be, I don't know if he could move enough to be an actor at this point either. The middle ground in this conference, I'm wondering if I have one extra.
Do you have any thoughts on Portland?
Young, fun. I think they'll be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to seeing some of how their bigs continue to develop. And Mason Plumlee in a new place can expand a little bit more than he was allowed to in Brooklyn. I want to see what Myers Leonard is this year. I want to see what CJ McCollum is this season. And watching Damian Lillard on certain nights is going to be very fun.
I was going to save this for the predictions podcast, but I'll just put it in here instead. I think Lillard is going to lead the league in shots.
Are you in on him for fantasy, or are you avoiding him?
I guess it depends whether your league counts percentage.
In leagues that count percentage.
In, but not all the way, I guess.
I've seen some.
I probably wouldn't take him at the point where you need to in order to get him.
Yeah, I wouldn't take. I don't think I have other guys I would take in the first round over him. I'm not going there, even though his counting stats are probably going to be pretty damn incredible.
Yeah, like even last year, his percentages were down.
Yeah, and the turnovers. He's probably going to have high turnovers, bad field goal percentage. I just think you could do more in point guard.
None of this is to say that he's not really good. He's really good.
No,
it's just. I think Ian Levy wrote it. He's played like 77% of his minutes in his career or something like that with LaMarcus Aldridge, Wes Matthews, and Robin Lopez on the floor with him.
Yeah, and you have to understand when you're talking about fantasy basketball, it's a different context than like what actually matters for how teams are going to perform and be. But both are fine.
Right.
All right, so back to real basketball. I just wanted to get something fantasy in there because, yeah, I'm a nerd and wanted to do that. Do you have any? Al-Farouq Aminu, I think, is going to be good. And I think people are going to realize that he's much better and that contract wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I think the contract was a little bit of an overpay, but I think you could do that when... lost my train of thought because I got a text message while we were doing this. I think you could do that when, you know, you have as much room under the cap as they did because there's just, like, nobody that they're paying. So it didn't much matter. And if they wanted him as a guy that they wanted next to their core for the future, then you can overpay by a couple million dollars.
Do you have three or four teams in the next group?
Three.
I have four.
Can I guess the fourth?
Sure.
I'm going to say that you have Memphis in that group, and I don't.
That would be correct, yes.
So you have Memphis, New Orleans, Utah, and Phoenix as teams competing for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I'm pretty tempted to pick Memphis to miss the playoffs.
So you have those four teams fighting for... three spots?
No, for 7 and 8, right? And then there's a top 6. Right? Golden State, Houston, Los Angeles, San Antonio,
Oklahoma City.
5. Oh, yeah, so I have 3 spots.
Right. So
okay.
New Orleans, Utah, Phoenix, and Memphis for 3 spots.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about the 3 we have in common first. Which of those 3, New Orleans, Utah, Phoenix, do you think is most likely to be out?
The Pelicans.
Really?
I already don't like what's going on with them with injuries. And
I was going to go there with this, but I think they still get in because Anthony Davis is that good.
he needs to play 70 games for them to get in.
This is all talking points I was going to bring up too.
How many games did he play? He's played.
They're another team. Everybody's hurt on this team except for Davis right now, and
he's never played.
Kept him out for a bunch of games in every year of his career.
He's never played 70 games. The most he's played is 68.
Right. Like I think. Yeah. So he missed 18 games as a rookie, 15 games in his second year, and 14 games last year. Obviously, he's a freaking inhuman monster, and you know. Might be the best player in the league by the end of this season. But Ashik is already hurt. Ajinka is already hurt. Holiday is already hurt. Quincy Pondexter is hurt. Eric Gordon is always hurt. You know, everybody's hurt. Ryan Anderson has had the back problems the last couple of years.
And Drew's on a I don't think Drew's hurt. I think he's on a minutes limit to stop him from getting hurt.
Right, he's on like 10 to 15 minutes limit until January.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing Norris Cole 25, 30 minutes a night.
And I think Norris Cole might even be hurt right now.
Kendrick Perkins is going to be getting minutes on this team.
Yeah, these other teams are just too good.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Yeah, and Norris Cole has... Hold on, Norris Cole has a high left ankle sprain.
So that's, I mean, we can debate whether or not that's good for them.
Davis
is just too good when he's on the floor, I think. I think at this point, like LeBron and Durant and maybe a couple other guys, if you have Davis on your team and he's even remotely healthy, I feel like you're going to be in the playoffs.
I like the other... I think the other three teams have less variables, and I just feel more confident.
Wait, Utah and Phoenix have fewer variables than another team?
Yes.
Phoenix?
And then New Orleans, I do. I think they do.
Phoenix is, what, second best player? Like, doesn't want to be there? And refused to show up all summer, and hates management, and doesn't like the coaches.
No, he's fine with the coaches.
Yeah, sure. We'll just take him at his word for that. He might be an actual crazy person. Like,
he's a nice guy. He's not that bad. His teammates love him. I've talked to him two or three times already. I've watched him. He's staying after practice and working. He's doing everything they ask. He's played hard in the preseason games at the scrimmage. He didn't play because of a slight injury, but he was engaged on the sideline helping out guys. I think that's all kind of blown over already.
I'm not putting my money on that. It's definitely blown over.
I think Markieff, we're talking about Markieff Morris, by the way, for anyone, as we just assume everyone knows what we're talking about. We're talking about
Markieff.
I think
everybody knows.
And is he there? I don't know if he's their second best player. Tyson and Bledsoe are definitely better than him. So that's two. So he's their third or fourth best player.
Fair enough, but okay. One of their best and most important players. There you go.
What I like about the Suns is that sometimes you just like how teams, they're talented, and then you like how the pieces fit together. And if I think
yeah,
it's.
I was going to take the Suns to make the playoffs over the Jazz, who, you know, I wrote about why. You know, we might want a slower roll on the Jazz. I wrote about that in the Cauldron. And we can get into those issues too. But, you know, everything going on with Phoenix scares me right now.
If I'll put it this way, if any of these four teams is going to end up being top 10 offense and top 10 defense, I think the Suns is most likely.
Hmm.
They got some, there's some shooting off the bench. Mirza gives them a long-range bomber. I think Warren's going to be good. Booker, he's 18 years old. He's about to be 19 in a couple days. And you can't rely on a rookie in any form or fashion, especially at that age. But holy crap, every time I watch this kid play, he just looks like, he just looks good. He just looks like he's going to be good. And I think it takes some time during the season. I don't think it's going to be right away. But I think by the end of the season, he ends up being a positive contributor, even at his young age.
I liked him a lot coming in. And I think it's really interesting they have like a million Kentucky guards between Knight, Bledsoe, Goodwin, and Booker. And I think they drafted one of the Harrisons but traded him on draft day to Memphis.
For John Moore, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I love the center combination. I don't think it's out of, I don't think it's crazy to say that they have the best backup and starting center combination in the league. I don't think people realize how good Alex Len was last year, and he did that at the age of 20.
Best backup and starting center combination in the league. Bogutazili.
I think
Dwight Moda-Yunus. White Moda-Yunus, I think, is pretty clearly.
Moda-Yunus also plays power forward, too.
Yeah, okay. Boogie and Kupis, or is Kupis going to start?
Kupis is going to start next to him. But Boogie and Willie Cauley-Stein, whoever you want to make his backup, yes, that's in the mix. Gasol and Brandon Wright's in the mix.
Yeah.
Horford and Splitter might be the right answer.
Yeah. Probably.
But what to Tyson and Alex Len is very much up there.
It's a good combination.
I just have a good feeling about this team. I like how they can balance.
I like
the court.
Them too. I think they're gonna be right in the mix. I wouldn't say that they're the most likely of that group of three to make it though. I think that's New Orleans to me.
I went with the local team in the NFL before the season on feel, and it's worked out. And I'm just saying,
as we all know, there's a strong correlation between football team performance and basketball team performance.
you didn't know that? There's a McDonough in each franchise, so that automatically means
that's why the 2007 Knicks were such a great team, because the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Dad, stop poking holes in my theory. Damn it.
Disaster.
All right. So that leaves us with the Jazz. And
yes.
I like them very much. I'm also worried. Nato, is that how you pronounce his name?
I thought it was Nito, but it could be.
Nito? I think you're
Nito.
Nito. That makes me think of Nito Stat of the Night. But,
yeah, I'm worried about them, too.
I don't know about the whole Trey Burke and him at point guard thing.
Yeah, and this is, a lot of what I wrote about. The point guard combination, where else they get offense from other than Gordon Hayward and Favors. Teams generally have not taken massive second half jumps like they did last year and sustain that over the course of the next season. Teams with similar jumps have won an average of like 0.2 more games the next season only. You can analogize them to that Pistons team that won a whole bunch of games after trading for Rashid and say that they're going to sustain like that. But, that Pistons team, I think we can say it was a lot better. They had Rasheed Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince. It was a deeper and more versatile team than this Jazz team is. I don't think you can make a one-to-one comparison there.
I think they're probably going to have to end up playing a lot of Burks, Hood, Hayward, Favors, and Gobert together.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too. I think Hood works well as a guy that simultaneously puts more shooting and better defense on the floor because Trey Burke can't shoot or play defense.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, what happened to him, man?
That his shot just disappeared is, I have no explanation for it. He's struggling with the longer, bigger athletes in the...
All of these Michigan men, have any of them been good in the pros?
Not bailing on Stauskas yet. I think he deserves more time because that wasn't a good situation for him last year.
Yeah, I mean, you can't judge anybody in Sacramento.
Glenn Robinson, I didn't think Glenn Robinson was going to be good. I didn't think Tim Hardaway Jr. was going to be good. I thought McGarry's been good.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, because he's not a guard.
Yeah, but...
All the guards have been bad.
Yeah, and I don't... Yeah, I don't know.
Is it possible that Michigan's offense manufactures even more space than NBA offenses do?
Oh.
So when they get to the pros, they're somehow operating in less space?
Yeah, I think in Trey Burke's situation, that's 100% true. Michigan runs a true 4-in-1-out offense, and now he's playing with two bigs at almost all times.
Yeah, I mean, and just less space on the perimeter even, too, because Michigan is so spread out. And obviously, defenses aren't quite as disciplined in college either, but,
There's definitely something to that. I think Stauskas perks up this year, though. I do think he ends up being...
I will say that Brett Brown agrees with you. He was talking about Stauskas the other night when I was at the Knicks-Sixers game as, you know, obviously he's a good shooter, but he was like, I think he can also run the point in a pinch for us. So it's going to be an interesting season for him.
That stuff he did at Michigan. He was almost their nominal point guard at times, playing next to the guy who was quotations the point guard, but was more of a spot up shooter. They ran most of their offense through Stauskas, and that was something with the way Sacramento was built. He didn't really get to do.
Right.
Okay. Back to the Western Conference, though. That's cheating. We just cheated. So we were talking about the Jazz. So yeah, I think I'm gonna have the Jazz and the Suns as my 7-8.
Interesting. All right. Let's talk about the Grizzlies next, because I have them as a contender and you have them as a possible playoff team. Why are you lower on them than me?
I just, at some point, age and...
But who's old here other than Zebo?
Because Tony Allen's, the way he plays is...
Tony Allen's what, 32?
Yeah, and it's the way he plays is just completely built on athleticism. And smarts. It's smarts, too. He's a very smart defensive player. But to play the way he does, I think it takes a lot of athleticism to be able to pull off.
I think that's why it's a good thing. Or, you know what? I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
And then Gasol's dealt with some injuries the last couple years, even as good as he is. And he slowed down as last year went. Zebo's another year older. And even though the way he plays... He's someone who should be able to play a good long time, even as he gets old, just because of his style. And it's more that I'm showing respect to the teams below them than I'm really taking a shot at them. Like, what was it, 3 years ago? 2 years ago? They only won 50 games. So I still think they're ending up in that.
Right, 2 years ago they won 50 games. Marc Gasol was out for like 25 games. Mike Conley was out for, like, 20 games.
That's true also. Gasol, I remember Gasol missing a bunch of games that year. I didn't remember Conley. But I'm more showing respect to the other teams that I think end up in that 48 to 51 range. And I think the Grizzlies end up somewhere right around there. And I just think maybe they miss out on the playoffs as, like, the last day of the regular season. Something like that.
I'm a little bit higher on them. I think that the things you mentioned about Tony Allen and Zebo are why pickups like Matt Barnes and Brandon Wright, essentially for free, are going to work so well for them. You know, it made them deeper. It gave them more guys that can do similar things. So, you know, now you have two wing stoppers rather than just one. Now you have a guy who can not only back up Marc Gasol, but can play with him also, as opposed to, you know, Costa Kufis, who you couldn't really play them together all that much. It lets them go with different lineup combinations more often than they did last season. You can still mix and match with, on the wings, you have now Tony and Courtney Lee and Jeff Green and Vince and Barnes. And in the front court, you can even go small with Barnes at the four. You know, you could do mix and match with Zebo, Brandon Wright, and Gasol. They can play together or separately. And, you know, you still have, Conley and Bino, our boy.
Not Mike Woodson's boy, though.
Not Mike Woodson's boy, that's for damn sure. And they still have Calathes, too. Or no, they don't have Calathes anymore. They have Russ Smith. And Jordan Adams is there, too. They got a lot more options now this year, I think. And that's going to help them both stay healthier and present different looks. So I think that they're still firmly in the mix. And with how good they are defensively, I don't know what the series would have been like if they would have met Golden State at full health last year.
You make all reasonable points that I can see happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a difference of how much we think age will affect them, I guess.
And what would really help them would be getting a bounce back year from Vince Carter.
Yes, he did not look as good last year as he did the year before in Dallas.
All right, so that brings us to the contenders. Spurs.
But just for posterity's sake, or for clarity's sake, sorry, the Grizzlies are in my group of contenders also.
Yeah, so he has six, I have five. And then we go Rockets, Clippers, Spurs, Warriors, Thunder. Now, I thought, let's start with the Spurs. I thought the Spurs were going to be one of those teams that bunch of new players, or not a bunch of new players, but because they're trying to incorporate such a big piece in LaMarcus Aldridge, they could start off slow. And then I went and looked at their schedule. After playing Oklahoma City to start the season, they play Brooklyn, Boston, New York, the Wizards, Hornets, Kings, Blazers, Sixers, Blazers, Nuggets. So that whole slow start thing went out the window. They're going to be fine right away.
My God. Yeah. That's some kind of schedule to get you into a rhythm.
Yeah, I was like,
one playoff team in there, or two playoff teams in there in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and it's not even, and you go even further, the entire, it's not even, I mean, then you have the Pelicans, Grizzlies, Suns, okay, that's a decent stretch. And then it goes back to Mavs, Nuggets, Hawks, Bulls, Bucks, Grizzlies, Celtics, 76.
Bucks, Grizzlies, Celtics sounds kind of tough.
Yeah, kind of. For the Spurs, though, in the West, the Bulls, who knows, by that time, Derrick Rose might not have a knee. It's a month into the season already.
Let's not tempt fate.
At the late, their second half of the season, their second half of the season has to be nuts.
I think they play Golden State twice in the last week of the season, if I remember correctly.
They do, and then they have the Grizzlies three times they have Golden State three times from March 19th on.
Jesus. My God.
And four times they play all four games against the Grizzlies are after January 25th. Against the Warriors. I don't know why I keep doing that. So all four games against the Warriors are after January 25th. That's very unbalanced.
Yeah, that's tough. But you know what? The Spurs stay the Spurs, and anyone who doubts Pop is a moron. And, I mean, the key to their season for me, and I think Nate Duncan wrote about this for the Cauldron, you know, how healthy is Tony Parker? He did not look healthy at all during their series against the Clippers last year. I did not watch it, but I heard that he did not look healthy during the international play this summer. That's a major concern, because he's the guy that really makes a lot of the way they run that offense go. You know, obviously, things are going to change a little bit this year with Aldridge anyway, but you still need Tony Parker to get in the paint and draw defense and all that kind of stuff. Patty Mills is not Tony Parker, as much as I like him. So I think that's, you know, maybe the most interesting question in the entire Western Conference.
You need Patty Mills to be able to be that complementary piece to Tony Parker, not relying on Patty Mills to do it every night.
Right.
And, yeah, that's very clearly the biggest question mark about that team. And for them to be able to beat a Warriors or a Rockets or a Thunder.
Any of those teams, yeah.
Yeah, they need Tony Parker healthy for that to happen.
Absolutely.
Which one do you want to hit on next?
Let's talk about the Clippers.
I don't like... They have an incredibly talented bench unit. I hate how the pieces fit together.
What, because Josh, Lanta, and Austin all can't shoot?
No, I actually don't mind that. I don't think there's any reason to ever have Austin Rivers, Lance, and Jamal Crawford on the court at the same time. They just over there.
Well, that's the thing. Bench units, although Doc does it a bunch, so it might happen. Bench units mix in with the starters a lot. Like, it's not like you just put the five bench guys out there and they play together and that's it.
Okay, yes. Yeah, no argument on that, but I do think... But you just said it. Doesn't Doc do that?
He does do that. For some reason, he refuses to stagger the minutes so that one of Blake and Chris is on the court at all times. I mean, which makes, you know, absolutely no sense whatsoever, but he's Doc Rivers, and, you know, he's forgotten more about basketball than I'll ever know, except about why DeAndre Jordan should be the defensive player of the year. But, you know, that's the sort of thing that would help break up that thing with the bench unit where, you know, you have all those different ball handling types that can't all have the ball at once.
I'd like them to find a more traditional backup point guard that can kind of shoot and basically will he play Pablo? And maybe you need like Pablo to be like he was 2 years ago. Who knows what he can do at this point in his age, but kind of what Pablo is when he's at his best is kind of what they need on a regular basis to go with some of those guys to kind of just organize and get things.
See, I feel like the move is to unload Jamal for like a forward that can shoot.
Or Jose Calderon.
No, that doesn't make much sense.
Why not?
Because they have 9,000 point guards.
They got bigs too, though. I mean, I like what he's doing. Something Doc is doing that I like.
Their backup bigs are Josh and Big Baby. Like, I'm talking.
No, they don't even have Big Baby anymore.
Didn't they re-sign him?
I don't think so. Give me 1 second.
I thought they did.
But he's been using Josh Smith as his backup center, which I like. That's something I do like.
Yeah, like I like Josh and Big Baby, Josh and Blake playing together sometimes.
They got Chuck Hayes. And Cole.
Didn't shoot either.
Yeah, Cole Aldrich. Woo!
Yeah, he's not good.
Championship.
Yeah, I think that the move for me would be Jamal for a big that can shoot. Unless they're going to use Pierce strictly at the four. Oh, and let's talk about this team's going to start Wes Johnson, by the way.
I'm fine with that.
He is not a starting caliber NBA player. I mean, I'm fine with the idea of not starting Pierce and loading his minutes and bringing him off the bench. If you're going to do it, I think I'd go with Lance.
I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with that also, but I think they want... Wes has shot threes decently, and I think they just want him for court spacing.
I don't think he's shot threes decently.
Yeah, I want to say he has. Let's see.
34% in his career. last couple of years a little better than the three before that.
Yeah, he shot, so what, the last 2 years he shot three.
Last 2 years he's at 36 combined.
Yeah. And that's
right. So, decently.
I mean, so I get that. If he keeps up that, being in that range, and you're only playing him, like, in that first stretch, like, all right, play 6 minutes each half, kind of like the James White thing that the Knicks did in 12-13, where...
Oh, God. So that was, like, 2 minutes a half.
Yeah, okay, but it can be expanded a little bit longer than that. Just, like, 12 total minutes, have him space the court, and then go to your more talented players. I'm fine with that.
In theory.
You think Lance bounces back or no?
Oh, I thought Lance was going to be good last year, and I was way wrong. So I might as well, you know, run it back.
I'm pretty much on the same boat. I didn't. It was, you know, and you think about it, it was really obvious that the Hornets were a bad fit when you looked at that roster, when you think about it, and I just ignored it.
See, I thought that he could do, you know, sort of those secondary ball handling things for them. But, you know, basically what they think Batum is going to do this year, I thought Lance could do last year. And I was just very, very wrong.
You know what part of that is? I think that we probably gave Kemba too much credit as a player going into the season.
It's possible, for sure.
And instead, he's Brandon Jennings Redux.
Well, I think that...
And that's even a little bit unfair.
Seller wrote it this morning. He's got, like, the same numbers throughout his career as Dion Waiters. Shooting-wise, and in terms of efficiency and how much they shoot and their usage rate. He's thought of a lot differently than Dion Waiters is. Let's just throw that out there.
Yep, it's almost, and to be honest, it's almost unfair to compare him to Brandon Jennings, because Jennings has been a decent three-point shooter for a couple years.
Yeah, Jennings is the guy, you know, I think we've talked about this before. If he didn't score 55 points in his seventh game or whatever it was, I'm not sure anybody would think about him the same way they do.
I think Kemba, a lot of it, I've said this before, a lot of it links back to what he did in college, and people like him because of that.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. All right, back to the Western Conference, though, and not Kemba Walker. I don't know how that keeps happening. We were talking... Oh, the Clippers, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they're deep. They...
Where do you think, you know, they realistically finish on defense? I think it's a concern.
If you get Lance clicking... I think top.
I think you've got four above average defenders there, and CP, Lance, DeAndre, and Josh. You know, Blake and Redick are serviceable, and they're not bad, but they're not like active pluses for the most part.
And I think you could throw Pierce in that category also. He doesn't have the same foot speed he once did, but he knows how to play team defense.
Right, and the right matchups, and, you know, against the right whatevers, he's the same way. But
so
they had a similar group last year. Obviously, they didn't have Josh, Lance, and Pierce, but they were, what, 17th in defense last year or something like that?
Was it that bad?
I don't think they were in the top half of the league. I remember that being like a major crux of the anti-DeAndre defensive player argument, although not that it needed to just be that, but...
I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize they were that bad defensively. I thought it was a little bit higher than that.
16th.
And so, yeah, I was wrong.
Nope, I sorted the wrong way. 14th.
Okay, that's a little bit more towards where I thought they would be, but I thought they were even a little... I thought they were more like 10 to 12 range. I didn't think they were 14. Yeah, and you know what? When it's this conference and who you're competing with, when it comes down to it in the playoffs, that's a problem.
Like, can they nudge into the top 10? It's tough.
I'd say... No.
I mean, I think there's, you know, the possibility for it. I think they were ninth the year before.
So, let's see. I think.
But they have.
If the Jazz, let's say if we can think we can put them.
They were seventh 2 years ago, actually.
That's good. All right, so.
And that was with CP missing a bunch of games.
I would think the Bucks are going to be a top 10 defense. The.
The Grizzlies, the Bulls.
Are the Bulls? It's.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got a question. So I think the Wizards are going to be right back up there again.
So that's three, four. The Warriors, five. The Spurs, six. The Jazz.
The Hawks should be good defensively again.
The Hawks. All right, so Jazz.
The Thunder. No, there are teams that are up there.
I think the Suns are probably better defense. The Suns are probably in that mix.
I'm not so sure about that. Tyson doesn't make a top 10 defense by himself anymore.
But you know that the key is he's not doing it by himself. He's got
Bledsoe and PJ Tucker, but
and Markieff, decent defender. So he's surrounded. He's actually surrounded by decent defensive pieces for the first time in about 10 years. You should. I taught at Media Day. I got him for like a one on. I got him for a one on one. But this is when at the podium, I phrased a question. So here in the past couple years where you've been, you haven't exactly been surrounded by the best defensive talent. He just grinned and started. He like smirked and kind of laughed under his breath. And then I went on to finish the question. I was like, "What's it? How does it affect you being surrounded by guys who can actually play defense?" That entertained me.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it affects his job a lot.
Yeah, he gave a good answer. I put it back. The quote's in a story I wrote. But I'm excited to get to cover him all year. I'm really looking forward to that.
He's great.
Yeah, that's all you've got to do that. So, I said you've got him to do that in New York.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. All right, so Clippers, so they're going to be borderline top 10. The offense is going to keep clicking.
Yeah, like they're, you know, probably, maybe not the odds-on favorite, but one of the two or three favorites to lead the league in offensive efficiency again.
Yeah. Another team that should join them, the Rockets. I love this team.
Yep, I am right there with you. I believe if I'm looking at the HP predictions page correctly, I might be the only one putting them in the finals.
If the other team that we haven't yet hit on yet didn't exist, they would have been my pick. I just don't think I can go against the Warriors, though. It hurts me. I think I have to. They just played so good last year. Even if they dip a little bit, they're still so much better than what everyone else did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Warriors aren't the favorite. You don't win 6 or 7 games by accident. You don't have one of the 8 or 9 best scoring margins of all time because you're lucky. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm 100% with you.
It's a historically good team that also happens to get lucky in terms of their health. You know, I don't know if they'll necessarily have everybody healthy all year again. Or for the playoffs again.
Where I'm with you is, if I was going to pick the one team to overtake them, the Rockets would be my choice.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at, and the choice of putting them in the finals is more about that.
What I like about what the Rockets can do is, there's no reason for Dwight Howard to be playing any more than 26 minutes a night during the regular season this year.
He will, but there's probably not a reason for it, no. They're so deep. Like, they go 12 deep of, like, legit...
Why wouldn't you...
Above average NBA players.
So, if you... Okay, say... Why would
that's not how coaches think.
Play Capella and Monty Unis 20... I mean, you can get 26 minutes a night at
I
the
mean,
center.
The answer is because that's not how coaches think.
He should start with his knee situation and his injury and his age. It'd be really
but
smart.
They're two or three deep at every position. They are. It's pretty ridiculous, but, you know, Beverly and Lawson and Jason Terry, Harden, McDaniels, Ariza, Brewer, TJ, Moda Yunus, Dwight, Capella, and that's even before you get to their rookies, Decker and Harrell. You know, that's already 13 guys before you get to the rookies that they picked this year.
Jason Terry becoming an NBA-level rotation player again last year was the weirdest thing that happened in the NBA.
So weird.
He was so bad.
He was so bad for Brooklyn the year before, and even for Boston the year before that, he wasn't all that good for them.
I did
it
that.
It was very strange.
I did not get that. They got Ty Lawson for nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of this is assuming that Ty Lawson has his life in order and is able to be on the court and do basketball things. You know, I'd like to hope that's going to be the case. So I'm, you know, sort of assuming it. But obviously that's a major wild card for them.
Have you seen him at all in the preseason? I haven't seen them play at all.
Yeah, I've seen one of their games. I can't remember which one it was.
How did he look?
Let me figure out which game it was. It was this game.
I said, the one thing, him hanging out, I don't know if the city of Houston and hanging out around James Harden is the best thing for...
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Now I'm remembering why I couldn't remember how he played, and the answer is because he didn't play.
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, I don't know if that situation is the best for what he needs.
You know what he needs is... Did you see Top 5, the Chris Rock movie?
No. I just ruined your joke. Go ahead with it, though.
He needs the Cedric the Entertainer character who comes in. He's like, "I'm the King of Houston." Like, it's so funny.
Don't let me bring you down.
He just keeps saying that he's the MFN King of Houston, and it's a very funny part.
Yeah, I mean, hang out with John Lucas more than James Harden on your weekends, Ty Lawson. That's my advice. Oh, anyway, the war. What's your biggest concern about the Warriors this year?
I mean, like, championship hangover, I guess. But even that, I'm not all that worried about. I don't really have many concerns other than, like, can they possibly be as healthy as they were last year?
Yeah, that's one. I kind of trust, even if it's not Kerr, I think Kerr gets them through that. I think he's one of those coaches that will be able to manage minutes and manage roles, and maybe that's why they're not at the historically good level, but they'll still be fine.
Yeah, this is, you know, a surefire contender, one of the two or three best teams in the conference, barring a long-term Steph Curry injury.
Exactly. That's the only thing that could really
hold
them back.
Which, I mean,
like,
we shouldn't even be talking about.
Yeah. It's just,
like,
you can't,
let's not even tempt me.
You can't, and you can't, with randomness, I think you can talk about that with certain guys that have continuously be injured and you have to figure it in, but that's not what Steph Curry has been. I think he's only had 1 year where he's really missed a bunch of games, so
Now, there were a couple at the beginning of his career. He had the ankle problems. Like, that's why he signed such a below-market deal.
But I thought even in those years, he still played the majority of the games outside of
I mean, he was still really good. I think there was 1 year where he didn't play a lot of games.
Yeah, where he missed them.
We should never mention Steph Curry and injuries in the same sentence again, though.
I will not be the reason for a Steph Curry joke. Yeah, I mean, he's played 74 games or more in every year except one.
Okay.
So he's been relatively healthy, and that reputation was somewhat unwarranted. Anything else you have to add on this conference?
Well, let's talk about the Thunder.
Oh, how did I forget them? Good idea. I have my one issue with them. They would be the other team I would pick to be able to compete with the Rockets and Warriors once I find out how much Enes Kanter's role is going to be.
Yeah, and I'll add Dion Waiters to that too.
Yeah, you're more worried about Waiters having a negative impact than I am. I think you can kind of just work around him like they did. They were able to do it last year. They were actually better with him on the court when he was on the team last year.
Yeah, but that's because he was playing with nobody. Like, I don't trust that.
That's completely reasonable.
Especially considering he, like, actively sabotaged the Cats for the first half of the season.
Yeah, I still have one foot on that Waiters can end up being a halfway decent
player. Yeah, you're,
player.
Like, the last
I'm not giving up on.
It's you and Dion just looking for a lifeboat.
Boy, that's not a place I want to be. But I just think
I'm
he can get...
I'm intrigued by the other big men there, you know, like, besides Kanter. Like, I like Steven Adams a lot. We both like Mitch McGarry a lot. Obviously, Ibaka is a very good player and doesn't really get credit for how good he is because people keep thinking that he should, like, become a post-up threat and start doing more of that kind of stuff. So they, you know, sort of miss the forest for the trees or whatever the saying is. He's really good, man. He's really good.
And the way he can stretch the court shooting, I'll even take the less free throws and maybe the little less efficiency in terms of numbers for him shooting threes. I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, people are like, oh, he's got to get back into the paint, grab some more rebounds, something like that. When you're playing next to Kendrick Perkins in the front court and you have KD and Russ, like, you need to give them space to operate. You know? It's a good thing that he's trying to give him space.
And doing it well.
Yeah.
Like, he can shoot them. It's not that he can't
hit.
Yeah,
he's good at it.
Yeah. There's no, he can take as many threes as he wants. You will never hear me complain about that.
What about KD? What do you think happens?
Oh, boy. I'm just going to hope for the best. He's too much fun to watch to think negatively. But I'd be lying if I, as I just said, I'm not going to think negatively. I'd be lying if I wasn't a little bit concerned about it.
I meant, what do you think happens with him, like his free agency?
Oh, go to the Knicks.
Go ahead.
I think he'd be a nut job to leave Russ and Ibaka.
Thank you. Finally, somebody who agrees with me. Like, you're not going to find a team that's going to make you more of a contender than playing with, you know, another one of the 10 best players in basketball and, you know, one of the better defense players, too. It doesn't get much better than that. You know, they still need to... They need to break through. You know, as they were in the Western Conference Finals, what, back-to-back years or 3 years... 2 years or 3 years in a row?
They might have done it three. They played the Heat in the finals.
Right, but were they in the Western Conference Finals the year before that against San Antonio?
Yeah, that's why we have the internet for these things. I have a crappy...
Was it not even San Antonio in the finals that year? It wasn't. Dallas went to the finals the year before.
And they lost to that Dallas... So they lost in the second round that year because... The Mavericks beat the Thunder in the second round, and they beat the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, so they made back-to-back trips to the Conference Finals, and then guys just started getting hurt before they went to the playoffs. You know, it's...
And in the playoffs.
Still a team that won, you know, 55, 60 games a year, for, what was it, 4 straight years? This team is freaking awesome.
Yeah, they made, so what, they did the first round Western Conference Finals. They did the Western Conference Finals 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah. And one of those years, you know, they lost to the Spurs when Ibaka got hurt. The year before, they lost to Houston when Russ got hurt.
No, Memphis when Russ got hurt.
Memphis when Russ got hurt. They beat Houston still, then lost to Memphis when Russ got hurt.
Yeah.
And then this year, Russ and Ibaka and KD were all hurt. Like, you know, it's tough.
And they still won 45 games.
Yeah.
Not bad.
What do you think about Billy Donovan?
I don't really have an opinion. If I'm being honest, I don't.
This is great radio.
I don't want to lie and pretend like I'm completely knowledgeable about.
I like him a lot as a coach. It obviously remains to be seen if he does the same kind of things in the NBA as he did in college. He has had a bunch of very good defensive teams in college. There were a couple years where they weren't good at all, but he has had a lot of really good defensive teams and has had really good offensive teams too. He is a very good coach and has been one for a while now, and was, I think, clearly sort of waiting for the right opportunity to come along before he made the jump to the pros. You know, he was almost a coach in Orlando before he went back on it. If you're going to wait to jump to the pros for the right opportunity, this is the right fucking opportunity where you can coach KD and Russ and Ibaka. You know, obviously how long that happens is, you know, we'll see based on the free agency the next couple of years, but you could pick worse first jobs.
No. Yeah. I think you could pick a lot of worse first jobs, actually. Pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
All of them.
Pretty much. Although, I mean, you know, if you want to count, like, ownership not necessarily being all that willing to spend as part of the consideration, then, you know, there are some better jobs, maybe.
What you just hit on is the one reason, if you're Durant, you maybe think of leaving for somewhere else.
Maybe.
That would be
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
That's the only consideration to leaving, if I were him.
So what do you think? Of those teams, those five that you have as your contenders, which is the most likely 5 seed?
Clippers.
See, I think it's still Houston. Like, I think that they're the most likely. Like, I think they have the most volatility of that group, where they're the most likely to be able to beat the Warriors, but they're also the most likely to have stuff go wrong and fall down to the bottom of that group.
It's basically like playing that game with the baseball bat where you spin and you try and run.
I don't know what game that is.
You've never done that with the wiffle ball bat? Where you drink.
I'm not much one for running for fun.
It's not like you run far. It's more like trying to move. Like, I don't even know what the name of it is. Like, you have a wiffle ball bat. You're supposed to spin and get dizzy, and then you attempt to run.
That sounds like a great game.
I don't even. There's some sort of point to it, but all I remember is you try and run, and basically most people just fall.
Fair enough.
And that's kind of what you're trying to do. That's kind of what you're doing, picking a team in the West in these top 5 slots to me. It's just a complete crapshoot.
I would have gone with a much more simple analogy of, like, picking things out of a hat.
I was trying to go non-cliché.
We'll go with yours. We'll allow it.
Throwing darts blindfolded? Does
throwing
that one work better?
It works, too.
Okay, there we go. So throwing darts blindfolded. We'll go with that one.
Great band name, Throwing Darts Blindfolded.
What kind of band would that be? Hard rock?
A terrible one.
Yeah, it would be bad, but would they be like hard rock?
They'd be like a Dave Matthews Band kind of band.
Oh,
there would be
they would be really terrible like that, too.
Yeah, they would be like a bad version of a bad Dave Matthews-style band.
All right. Anything else you have to add in the Western Conference?
No, I think after that I'm done.
Yeah, I think I am too. All right, East is wrapped up. West is wrapped up. I'm Brian Gimmerman. He's Jared Dubin. We're going to come back with some ridiculous predictions to wrap up our NBA season preview.